Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 3, The Birth of Lord Krishna, text number 52. Vasudev placed a female child on the bed of Devaki, bound his legs with the iron shackles, and thus remained there as before. Text 53. Jashoda Nanda Patnicha. Yattam param abhudyata. Yatalingam parishanta. Nidraya pagata smriti. Jashoda. Krishna's mother in Gokula Brind. Nanda Patni, the wife of Nanda Maharaj. Cha, also. Jatam, a child was born. Param, the Supreme Person. Abhudyata, could understand. Na, not. Tat, Lingam, whether the child was male or female. Parishanta, because of too much labor. Nidraya, when overwhelmed with sleep. Upakata and Smriti, having lost consciousness. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Exhausted by the labor of childbirth, Jashoda was overwhelmed with sleep and unable to understand what kind of child had been born to her. Purport, Nanda Maharaj and Vasudev were intimate friends, and so were their wives, Jashoda and Devaki. Although their names were different, they were practically non-different personalities. The only difference is that Devaki was able to understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead had been born to her and had now changed into Krishna. Whereas Jashoda was not able to understand what kind of child had been born to her. Jashoda was such an advanced devotee that she never regarded Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but simply loved him as her own child. Devaki, however, knew from the very beginning that although Krishna was her son, he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Vrindavan, no one regarded Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When something very wonderful happened because of Krishna's activities, the inhabitants of Vrindavan, the coward men, the coward boys, Nanda Maharaj, Jashoda, and others were surprised. But they never considered their son Krishna the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometimes they suggested that some great demigod had appeared there as Krishna. In such an exalted status to devotional service, a devotee forgets the position of Krishna and intensely loves the Supreme Personality of Godhead without understanding his position. This is called Kevala Bhakti and is distinct from the stages of Jnana and Jnanamayi Bhakti. This is in the Bhaktivedanta Purports of the 10th Canto, 3rd Chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled The Birth of Lord Krishna. Two significant points I can find here. One is that as the devotee makes advancement, then he sees himself and everyone else in the same way. In other words, as Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Swayam Bhagavan, the source of everything, and at the same time he exhibits unlimited personalities, practically speaking, although he remains the same. So similarly, Krishna has expanded himself in parts and parcels, which are all simultaneously one but different from Krishna. So when one becomes fully conscious of Krishna, or at least significantly conscious of Krishna, then one can see that all living entities are the same as being expansions of Krishna, and they all have the same interest to serve Krishna. So in one sense, they realize the oneness of everyone, but the difference. They realize that everyone has a unique, is an unique expansion of Krishna, although not different from Krishna. So in that way they're one, but they're different, because they're different expansions of Krishna. And what to speak of Krishna is plenary expansions, that they're all simultaneously one and different from Krishna also. The other side here is that our goal is prema bhakti, namely pure love for Krishna. But prema bhakti is obtained from jnana bhakti and jnanamayi bhakti, generally not directly from simply, we cannot jump to prema bhakti. Therefore, Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī has given us different stages of pure devotional service, beginning with adau shraddha. And as one advances sadhu sangha, bhajana kriya, it is not that one gives up shraddha, or gives up sadhu sangha, or gives up bhajana kriya. Even at the stage of prema, one is actually advancing simultaneously in all the different stages of bhakti. As one reaches the highest stage of bhakti, anartha nirvritti, of course, anartha nirvritti, anishta. When one is on prema bhakti, there's no anarthas to take care, to get rid of. Although one may imagine one has some fault that one is getting rid of. Even sometimes the gopis criticize Krishna, what to speak of ourselves. Out of love, though. When one attains prema, then all the different stages, all are infused with love. At the beginning, that we're trying to understand the value of focusing our mind upon Krishna and giving our love to Him. Love meaning, we may not experience it as exactly love, in the sense that what actually is real love, but hopefully there is some, at least, tushati, if not ramanti. Tushanti means, at least there is some satisfaction that we're making some progress. We're on the right path. That we didn't imagine the Hare Krishna movement. Krishna was not just from a video we saw. Little Krishna. He exists, actually is, of course little Krishna is also real, but he exists as a real person with real activities and real relationships and a real relationship with us. So that's tushanti, we're satisfied that we're on the right path and that eventually if we follow the path, we'll actually get to the goal. And ramanti means we're experiencing the goal, namely prema bhakti, pleasure, transcendental love and pleasure, and ever-growing awareness that allows us to experience that love and pleasure to ever greater degrees, eternally. Tushanti cha ramanti cha. So, the symptom of that, that there's at least tushanti and ramanti, is tesham satatam yuktanam. That we're inspired to do some service, just like this padyatra for those who are going on it. Then, when we're out there chanting Hare Krishna, we have little opportunity, because we always have an opportunity wherever we are, to become distracted. But we have much greater opportunity in the association of devotees chanting to actually try to focus our minds on the holy name and chant in such a way as to give our love to Him, to our service to Him, to glorify Him. That's called worship. And the result is, the longer we do it, the more enthusiastic we do it, the dhammi buddhi yogam tam, then Krishna gives us such intelligence that we're able to understand things properly, we're able to experience things properly, because Krishna consciousness is not just a theory that Krishna is God and that we're eternal, it's actually an experience. But in conditioned life, when our senses are covered, we have limited experience, and that we have to patiently accept. We're not going to get the whole cake and eat it immediately also. We have to become a little patient, but we should try to utilize our present opportunity, our present intelligence that Krishna is giving us, so that we try to perceive how we can focus our attention upon Krishna and give our love to Krishna in such a way as that Krishna will reciprocate with us, and that we'll actually be able to experience what Krishna, becoming conscious of Krishna, means. And the more one becomes conscious of Krishna, the more Krishna reveals himself, the more we're able to experience what Krishna consciousness means, the more we understand who we actually are and what our actual goal of life is. Actually, as Krishna's eternal servants, we're all made out of bliss. It may not appear that way, that we're made out of bliss, because when we identify ourselves with this gross and subtle material body, this gross and subtle body is not exactly made out of the same bliss that we're made out of. Although it's Brahman, it's a transformation of Brahman, but still it's not made out of bliss. And when our attention is redirected to the gross and subtle bodies, then we experience something other than pure bliss. But when that same consciousness is redirected to Krishna, then we can experience that we're also made of bliss. That's what we're looking for. We're made of bliss, and we want bliss. We want more bliss than just to experience our own little teeny selves. We want unlimited bliss. So that's Krishna and Krishna's devotees. Unlimited varieties of bliss. Therefore, if we want to come to the platform of pure bhakti, we have to start with trying to understand how to pay attention, and then on the basis of paying attention, get the intelligence coming from Krishna, how to get more and more steady and enthusiastic in our service. Enthusiasm means that activities performed with intelligence in Krishna consciousness, or endeavors performed with intelligence in Krishna consciousness, is called enthusiasm. Of course, we could try to become enthusiastic, but that won't last very long. Especially, you know, people get enthusiastic if they go to a football game. They're enthusiastic until the game ends, and they stay enthusiastic during the game as long as their team is winning. Or else their enthusiasm turns into something else. So similarly, we can jump up and down, which is service. If we do it for Krishna, that's also Krishna will reciprocate. On the other hand, endeavors executed with intelligence in Krishna consciousness. So we have to do something. We have to do the right thing. We have to do service to Krishna, and then we have to use intelligence. Intelligence means we know what to do for Krishna and how to do it. And if we don't have that intelligence, then we have to get it from someone who has intelligence and accept that intelligence. Now, everyone thinks they have intelligence. Everyone thinks they know exactly what they're supposed to be doing. That's why we're in the material world. Because we knew exactly what we were supposed to do since time immemorial, and we're still here doing the same thing. Therefore, one of the most difficult things is to accept someone else's intelligence. That's coming from Krishna. Accepting Krishna's intelligence should be relatively easy if we were Krishna conscious, but because we're not, we have a tendency to accept some material intelligence as well as Krishna's intelligence. And therefore, we have to seek out association of devotees who have more intelligence than we have. And the trick is not to become envious of them. Because as soon as we become envious of anyone, then we never believe they have more intelligence than we have. Immediately they fall into the category of fools and rascals with less intelligence than we have. Doesn't matter who they are. It could be Brahma coming before us with four heads, and we'll point out to everyone, look at that freak, four heads, what could he know? Therefore, the difficulty is to actually accept Krishna and Krishna's devotees as they actually are, and try to do some endeavor with intelligence, that is, under the direction of actually Krishna, to actually become convinced that this is Krishna, what Krishna wants me to do. And then to do it within in Krishna consciousness. In other words, if we do our service, which is actually service, and we do it as Krishna wants us to do, and what he wants us to do, and we do it to please him, that's called Krishna consciousness, then the result is we become enthusiastic because we actually, Krishna reveals himself to us. And how do we know when Krishna reveals himself to us? How do we know when we're Krishna conscious? What's the experience? Does anyone have any experience of Krishna consciousness here? Hello? Where am I? I think I woke up in the wrong place. What is it like to experience Krishna consciousness? Yes. Is that it? All you get is bliss. That's good. I mean, hopefully, give him the micro. Give him the micro. Is that all you experience is bliss?
No, it's also some experience of getting shelter in difficult moments.
Well, that's pretty vague. Yes, but after... Yes, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Maybe in some difficult situation we feel a relief because we don't feel it so tough as we used to.
Yeah, all these things are valid, but many people get relief. Just like it says, the elephant, when there's a big fire in the forest, and he gets out of the forest and he gets into the water, he feels relief also. Does that mean that the elephant is Krishna conscious? What does it mean to become conscious of Krishna? Yes. That's the process, but what is it, conscious of Krishna means what?
To know our position.
To know our position. Yeah, I know where my position is. I'm sitting on the Vyasa Center.
As an eternal servant.
What's that?
To know that our position as an eternal servant of Krishna.
Yeah, these are all quite true. Yes.
My English not enough, okay. Conscious, like I talking, you listen. I understand, you listen me. Because,
yes, I'm listening.
Because I look you, and
yes,
you talking something.
I see
something.
You. Yeah,
yes.
We do.
Means Krishna talking, I understand Krishna talking, I look Krishna talking.
Yes, we look, we actually see Krishna. In other words, how do we see Krishna? Did anyone see Krishna today? What's that? You see him all the time. Oh, yeah, I better learn from you. I'm not on that platform at all.
He's everywhere. I
can
see him physically.
Oh, that's nice. That's keep on doing that. Anyone else feel him all the time? Anyone else feel him today? Yes. Yeah. Anyway, because maybe I have one idea and everyone else has a different idea. Did anyone see Krishna today? Chandrika. You didn't see Krishna today? Oh my God. Did you come to Mangalarti? You didn't see Krishna anywhere? Where is he?
Everywhere.
He's everywhere. Did you see him when you woke up this morning? You saw him under your pillow? You have a picture. Okay, so the picture, that's it. He has a form. I mean, this is also the universal form we're looking at, but I don't always remember this is Krishna's universal form. But when I see Lord Chaitanya, generally I mean, who is this guy here? Oh, that's Lord Chaitanya. He's God. He's Radha Krishna Nahiyanya. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna. He's Radha and Krishna combined. Here's Krishna in the form of his paintings. So what other way can we see Krishna? I better give the answers. Yes, this is holy. When we Krishna appears as the deity, in what ways? For the material, for one who doesn't see Krishna in his original form, what other ways does Krishna reveal himself?
In the form of Artha Vigraha.
But what kind of Artha Vigrahas are there? There's one that we form within our heart, within our mind. Anyone see Krishna within their mind today? Anyhow, just imagine a black cloud. Can everyone imagine a black cloud? And that turns into a black Krishna. And what does he have in his hands? What's that? A flute, yes. And what does he have on his head? And what color dhoti does he have? So you're seeing Krishna. Is that really Krishna, or is that your imagination? You're imagining Krishna. Is that bad? No, that's what our imagination is meant for, because that's Krishna. One time the artist, Muralidhar, maybe it was Pushkar, they were bringing Prabhupada different pictures. And they were asking Prabhupada, which is the best picture? Which one looks most like Krishna? And Prabhupada said, they all look like Krishna. So they said, well, even then they brought him pictures of the Gurukul students. They said, is this Krishna also? And Prabhupada said, yes. His stick figure, you know, here's a peacock feather, here's a flute. It's also Krishna. So part of our endeavor is that when we're not seeing the deities, to actually see Krishna within our heart, to remember Krishna spontaneously. Just if we hear the holy name and then we try to feel Krishna's presence, then spontaneously we might remember Krishna. Whatever we read about, or whatever we can remember the deities. So that's, what is it important to actually, I mean, I don't want to encourage everyone to artificially remember Krishna, but what is the significance? I'm going to ask questions and everyone, I'm going to be just tell everyone they're wrong. That's not good. Everyone is always partly right. No, the significance is that if Krishna appears within our mind, then we can much thinking, feeling. It's a greater opportunity to feel Krishna's presence. Then we can actually change our consciousness, we can change our mind, so that eventually when our heart becomes softened and we change our awareness, we change our attitude especially, then we'll be able to feel Krishna's presence in the deities also. And we'll be able to feel Krishna's presence in the pictures too. Then this will all be, but it's all experienced within our mind. The soul experiences it through his mind. Therefore, jnana is necessary so we can come to the platform to think about Krishna and then feel his presence in different ways. It's one thing to say, I feel Krishna, I see Krishna everywhere. It's even more important to feel Krishna everywhere, his presence everywhere. And then if we feel like that, then we're going to be thinking, feeling, and then everything we'll do will be under Krishna's will, to exactly do what Krishna wants us to do. So that's perfection. Become a perfect instrument of Krishna forever. That doesn't mean we lose our identity, but it means that whatever we do is pleasing to Krishna and to everyone else. And then we realize that there's really no difference between myself and Krishna. We're simultaneously one in Krishna, and I'm simultaneously the same and different from everyone else. So that means we merge into Krishna consciousness, like the green bird merging into the green tree. It didn't really merge, but it becomes one with the tree, and it looks like it's part of the tree, and it is part of the tree, but it still remains different from the tree. So Mother Jasoda and Nanda Maharaj and Devaki and Vasudev, they're all non-different, but there's a sweeter taste when love expands unlimitedly. That as soon as we understand Krishna's greatness, then there's an impediment towards love. Of course, if one is on the level of Devaki and Vasudev, their love is unlimited and spontaneous, but it's even deeper when one considers that Krishna is not just God, he's my little baby and I have to maintain him. So we have that attitude, you know, we read the books and Krishna is fighting with some demon, Agasura, the coward boys enter into their mouth, Krishna is wondering what to do, and we think, well, I know exactly what Krishna is going to do. Krishna looks bewildered for a few seconds. Hey Krishna, I know what you're supposed to do. I know you're not going to be bewildered. This is all for the Krishna book. I realize it. But Mother decided, therefore we know Krishna's opulence and we know he's going to win. But if we didn't know Krishna's opulence, we were reading it for the first time, and Krishna's in the coils of the Kaliya serpent, hanging there for 2 hours, and all of Mother Jasoda and Nanda Maharaj are rushing all the residents of Vrindavan. What's going to happen to Krishna? If we didn't know, we might get worried. Maybe Krishna will be vanquished today. So therefore, our focus on Krishna would be even more intent. And oh, I know what's going to happen. I've read this 1,000 times. No, the intensity of love would increase. If Krishna was lovable to us, if he was our dear child in the coils of a serpent, then our love for that child would increase even more. Great anxiety. So therefore Mother Jasoda's eternally, her love is increasing even more intensively than Devaki and Vasudev. Although their love for Krishna is also intensely increasing. Because Krishna's opulence and is also intensively increasing at every moment. So that's up to us. If you have the Himalayas, there's Mount Everest, and there's other mountains a little bit lower, but they're all, from our point of view, they're all pretty tall. So whether we choose to come to the platform of pure Krishna Prema at the level, on the higher levels, like Mother Jasoda and Nanda Maharaj, or we come to the higher levels, beyond Prema, Sneha, Mana, Bhava, Raga, Anuraga, Bhava, Mahabhava, where we come to the higher levels, it really doesn't make that much of a difference. Although, when we hear about how sweet Mother Jasoda's relation with Krishna is, then we might become attracted. Or how sweet the gopi's relationship is, we might become attracted. But from our point of view, they're all attractive. So I'll stop there. Thank you very much. Any questions? Kuala? Prashna? No, it's not Prashna. Is it Prashna here? What's the word for questions, Levine? Prashanya. Prashanya. It's almost like Prashna. Prashana. Yes. Microphone.
He's asking if it's possible to be Krishna conscious if you're not conscious of Radharani.
Well, when you're talking about Radharani, Srimati Radharani, Well, would you want to put the question in the other language? Okay, I guess it's all right. It's being translated. If you're not, Radharani means all of the Krishna's energies. She's the source of all the energy. So we're always conscious of Radharani. It's not possible not to be conscious. Even Brahman, in Brahman is an energy of Krishna. What's that?
Krishna is energetic, Radhika is energetic.
Yeah, so how is it possible not to be in some way or another conscious of her? What the speaker be? We can't enter into Krishna consciousness without serving his devotees, which were headed by Radharani. Otherwise, it's not possible. Krishna revealed, Naham Prakasha Sarvasha Yogamaya Samavrita. Radharani, her energy, her expansion, Durga is covering us. That's why we're not conscious of Krishna. So we have to please Srimati Radharani so that she lifts the veil of illusion so we become conscious of Krishna. One who claims to be my devotee is not my devotee. Only one who claims to be a devotee, my devotee, is actually my devotee. You can't directly love Krishna. We have to go through his devotees. Anything else? Kwala Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.